eagle flies high, way up in the sky. It sees above the human eye. A different perspective, a broader directive. In doing so, it becomes more effective. Welcome to The Legal Eagle, a podcast where I examine aspects of the law that I'm passionate about. I'm your host, Sarah Mae Thomas, and my aim is to have conversations that will empower both professionals and the everyday person on the street. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Legal Eagle podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing physical violence in the context of family law and also in the context of physical discipline. I'm joined by my intern, Matthew, who's currently a law student studying at SMU. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, everyone. And thank you, Ms. Thomas, for having me. I'm really excited to be part of this episode.
Yeah, and it's great to have you back on the show, Matthew. For those listeners who have been following our podcast, Matthew actually joined me last year as we interviewed very interesting individual from India, Akshat, who is owner of Legislify. So it's great to have you back on the show, Matthew. So just to start off the podcast, let's look at the current societal perceptions of physical punishment towards children.
In Singapore, physical punishment is a common means of disciplining children. The idea that children need to be disciplined properly to ensure that they are brought up well is a widely accepted conventional wisdom by many parents here. The old adage, spare the rod and spoil the child, rings very true in the context of Singapore.
Yeah, that's pretty true. In Singapore, it's not actually illegal or unlawful for parents to physically discipline their children unless it is overly harsh, to the extent where that discipline is deemed as child abuse. So in Singapore, we have what is called the Children and Young Persons Act, which actually dictates that physical punishment by parents is only considered abuse when it causes unnecessary physical pain, suffering, or injury, B, emotional injury, or C, injury to the health or development of the child. And of course, it's looking at children 18 years and under. So overall, it can be said that physical punishment in Singapore has to be done in a very controlled manner for the purpose of discipline and not out of fury. There remains, however, a gray area between discipline and abuse, and it's often unclear whether one parent's method of raising a child amounts to abuse. And I suppose I say this because it's really dependent on the facts of every case.
Yeah, it can be rather confusing at times. And I would think that parents are often unaware of the point where physical discipline becomes a potential criminal act. But be that as it may, the Ministry of Social and Family Development has set out guidelines to help scope what constitutes abuse. And so abuse would be any act that causes injury to a child, including deliberately causing bruises and cuts, which would constitute physical abuse.
Yeah, so, you know, people ask me, what if I were to cane my child and accidentally bruise him, would that constitute physical abuse? I would say not really, because the injury was accidental. However, the injuries were actually brutal. The court may draw the inference that the injury was less likely to be an accident.
I see. That does seem pretty reasonable. But I also guess it's pretty clear what obviously amounts to abuse. Like, there was a case recently where the father had beaten his 9-year-old son for not completing his homework.
Oh, no.
And it's pretty awful. But he hit his son to the point where the son was admitted to the hospital. And in that case, the father had actually held the boy upside down by one leg, hit him with a hanger, and then kicked him, among other acts. And it's clear in this case that such physical punishment is clearly excessive and could easily hamper the son's physical and mental development. But what should children of abuse do in such situations? It has to be really scary for them.
Well, the children can actually contact a family violence specialist center. We have all those centers across the island, and these centers actually help children, or actually any victim of violence and family violence, to apply for a court-sanctioned protection order. While a court order may seem intimidating at first, it's really quite straightforward. I guess in the case of a child, they would need an adult to come with them to a specialist center. But I guess that's when a family member or a trusted friend could assist them. Or in the case where the child really doesn't have anyone to help them, they should reach out to Ministry of Social and Family Development, and even the specialist centers would be able to help them with connecting them with the correct agencies. But in Singapore, under the Women's Charter, the court has the discretion to provide four different types of protection order. So essentially, you've got the personal protection order, and that's generally an order that restrains the abuser from committing family violence. And this kind of order is granted when the court feels that family violence has been committed or is likely to be committed and that protection is necessary. So the next one is an expedited order, which is an urgent and temporary PPO made without going through a trial. And usually an EO is granted in situations of imminent danger or family violence. And then we have what is called a domestic exclusion order, which essentially bans the abuser from the house in which the family has been living in. And this actually allows victims to feel safe in their own home without the fear of abuse. And lastly, we have what is called a counseling order. And this kind of order refers parties in a protection application for counseling and is made concurrent to a protection order. And under a counseling order, there's counseling conducted by a family support agency, and children may need to attend as well.
Wow. It's actually quite a relief that the law provides a plethora of remedies to protect children from abuse. I guess at the end of the day, when it comes to physical discipline, the courts have the child's best interests at heart. And they won't actually stand idle and let a child be abused. But at the same time, they reflect an understanding that physical discipline is an acceptable form of discipline if applied under the right circumstances.
Yes, I agree. And with that, listeners, we have come to the end of today's episode. We hope that this podcast has given you a better understanding of physical punishment here in Singapore within the context of family law. Thank you so much for listening in, and I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. And we'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, share it on Instagram. We've got a handle at Sarah May Thomas LLC. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Please reach out to us, hit that subscribe button, and do follow us. Have a lovely day. We'll see you soon. Bye.